It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were looking at the possibilities for the Mets pitching tonight. So I think, BT, they already announced last night, Mendoza said, it's going to be Peterson starting the game, which we talked about yesterday was a possibility because they said Senga will be available for Game 5, not necessarily a starter. Mets have not used Peterson out of the pen in Game 3 or Game 4, so he's going to start, which would make sense because he faces Ohtani in the top of the order at least a couple of times through. I think it's going to be Peterson, if needed, into Senga. Like, let's say Peterson only goes 4 innings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stanek and Diaz. I don't think you're going to see more than those 4 guys. And it might just be Peterson to Stanek to Diaz, but I don't think you're seeing anybody other than those 4 pitchers today.
Okay. I have a few questions for you here.
Yeah.
So, I like, first of all, I like it. I like Peterson. Yeah. There's no way he could start Senga. I don't even know if I'd pitch him at all, but whatever.
Oh, I think
they're a little short.
Only if they need, like, if Peterson goes 4, they're screwed. If Peterson goes 6, then I don't think you're seeing Senga.
Okay, five, and then you go right to Stanek. You start bridging things.
Diaz 2 innings tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, right.
Understood. Now, by the way, if the higher leverage situation presents itself in inning 7,
go to 1.
You might see Diaz and then flip it. So I understood. We're on the same page with that. Now, Peterson, his last 4 outings, 2 1/3, 2 1/3, 3, 1 inning, all relief, obviously. The last time he went 7 was September 29th. So it's been a while. So that's why I wanted to. We got a lot of things here. My questions, all right? Let's say if I don't think he could give you really more than 5. I just don't. And if you get 6, that's awesome.
No, I think you. I agree.
Okay.
I think you're looking max 5.
So let's say if he gives you a clean 5. And the Mets have a 4-1 lead, 6-2, 5-1, a little breathing room. You go Senga. Agreed? With some breathing room?
Clean 5.
Clean 5, Senga,
yes.
Try to steal 1 with Senga.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 1 or 2, but yes.
Okay. Now, what do you do? And I thought you'd say that. My real question is, what do you do if it's 2 outs in the fourth and it's a 1-run game? Either way.
Right.
Couple of guys on, 1 out or 2 out. You can't bring Senga into that situation.
Correct.
There's no way. So what do you do?
You probably go Stanek.
Okay.
You probably have to go Stanek. I mean, I guess it depends who comes up. I'm not going to use Diaz in the 4. Me personally, now again, we can look at their rosters. I can't go down if I'm the Mets. We've seen everything else that they have had. They fired everybody else. They're all no good. Whether it's Maton, who would be the only other guy that I might consider trusting, he's not good enough. So no Maton. I don't want to see Reed Garrett. Maybe that's the guy that they go back to, BT, even after he gave up the home run to Kike Hernandez the other day. Maybe they go Reed Garrett here. I would not go Reed Garrett myself.
No, you can't stand
but
him.
Maybe
I wouldn't trust him either.
Maybe in that spot they do to try to get him through. And Javier, I'm hearing you here. You're talking to me there.
No good.
Yeah. So, I would go Peterson. I would go, if it's clean, Senga. Otherwise, I would go Peterson to Stanek.
Peterson to Stanek.
If it's a mess, you're saying.
Okay, okay.
And then have Stanek hopefully get out of that and then maybe get him for another inning. Like, you're probably going to need an inning plus from both Stanek and Diaz. Whether that's 4 or 5 outs.
I totally agree.
Okay. And then you hope to get 5 from Peterson. Hand it to Senga for 6, maybe a 7th, depending on where they are in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Stanek and then Diaz the rest of the way.
Okay. I got you.
That's probably what you're looking at. I would, again, if it's dire straits, maybe you see Reed Garrett earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I would think that these are the 4 they're going to go down with today.
And they've gone over every one of these situations. What do we do if we're up big and Peterson goes longer than we think? The exact opposite. What do we do if we're getting smacked? Who do we go to? When? When do we really, fire the first bullet with Diaz? Can we have Stanek go, 5 batters? I mean, these are all things that are already mapped out.
Right.
Now, you've got to react to what's in front of you with your eyes, but This is not an easy thing to navigate against this lineup.
Right.
It's a very undesirable spot to be in.
Two things. The Mets don't have enough in the bullpen, which we've all acknowledged all year long. It was actually a shock that they've made it this far. And I said that even in the postseason. Like, it's a shock the Mets have made it this far, or even before the playoffs, with that bullpen. However, their utilization of the bullpen this series has not been good because they've been waiting. Like, game one, whatever, they let that get out of control. It happens, you get beat. Game two, you respond back. That was the right way to use the bullpen. Uh-huh. It was the A game with Manaea, the way that they use that. It's Diaz. Game three, you brought this up yesterday, and it was a good point. Now, at the time, it didn't seem as important, but that was maybe a game where they should have deployed the A relievers. And honestly, Sebi was fine. It was his glove, not his arm, that was the problem. 2-0 game, then a 4-0 game. Not using your A relievers, it got to be an out-of-control game.
Correct.
At that point.
With no chance to come back.
And they were thinking, okay, well, fine, that's just another game. 2-1, we'll use those guys in game four. But then game four, the same thing happened. Actually, even worse, because Quintana didn't have a good start, which we could have predicted that was going to be the case.
Well, because he nibbles and they don't swing it, but they never chase, so
right.
That's a tough matchup.
Right. Still better than it would have been a better option having him potentially twice as opposed to the way that they went about it with Senga starting game one.
Which I agree.
Senga starting game one screwed everything up. And anyway, and then their plan to not use their A guys in game three hurt them in that particular game. Game four, they really didn't have a choice because Quintana didn't have it. And now here we are, two games in a row, they have not used their best pitchers. And Sean Manaea, who is their best pitcher, is not going today. He's waiting.
You hope he goes.
He might be left on ice here. I mean, that's where I have an issue with the Mets' decision-making going into this series.
I think we laid it out well. It's interesting. They've got some options. Not all of them are incredibly appealing, but there's some options there. Think about this, Sal. We just did. We get back to these calls. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Yanks up there as well for you on the phones. But we just hit 4 minutes of what the Mets could do with their arms. You know what's funny? I think we probably buried the lead. You know how you win? How about scoring three runs in the first inning? How about coming out? The two-run double, solo bomb, sac fly. You're up 3-0. It changes everything.
We know the formula. We said that going in, what they were going to have to do. They're going to have to score early and often. And remember, this Mets team was supposed to be built with the bats. You and I, even when they were at their lowest in the regular season, we always said, like, we both agreed, even when they came out of it, that the pitching was the thing that we didn't believe in or trust.
Yep.
And yet that's what's carried them. It was the offense that was supposed to be their bread and butter, and they needed the offense to compete in this series. So you're right. It doesn't matter who's pitching or what the plan is. If they don't hit, they're screwed. Andrew is in Morris Plains, New Jersey. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a huge Mets fan. Last night was my first time ever at a Mets postseason game. Wasn't the way I wanted to go, but nonetheless, I have to say from being there that we have incredible fans. Every moment that the Mets had the opportunity to score, they stood up and cheer. But it's crazy because, you know, so many of these kind of moments, I'm so angry with the team. But today, I don't know. I feel pretty good about the game today because there has been so many moments we, like, doubted them, and they made these incredible comebacks. And, you know, I don't feel it's over. I feel pretty good about it. We have a shot.
Yeah, I mean,
I like it.
Thank you for the call, Andrew. I can see that, BT. Even me, like, if I'm being honest, like, do I think realistically, do I think the Mets are going to come back from down 3-1? No. But realistically, did I think they were going to come back in that Milwaukee game? No. Realistically, did I think the Mets are going to come back in the Atlanta game after Diaz blew it? No. Realistically, did I think the Mets would be a team that would be playing in the NLCS? No. So what does realistic or logic have to do with what the Mets have done? They defy logic all year long.
Nothing. The only difference is the finality, the potential finality of it. And well, then again, there was also the finality of the things you just said. Pete doesn't go yard. We don't talk about the Mets the last 2-3 weeks. So
I thought they were done in Milwaukee.
They've always been flirting with this, which is why they have been conditioned to feel comfortable when things go awry, which gives you the belief that their heartbeat's going to be slow. And see, I don't worry about that stuff. I just don't think they're good enough to win three games against the Dodgers. But from a mental place and an approach place, they'll be fine because they've done it for so long.
Right. They're comfortable in this spot and they're home. And like I said, now, right or wrong, now you're going to get their best shot. Like, their best pitchers are going to be going today. They can't be messing around, even with the loyalty with the lineup. I know they're going to go with more lefties today, you know, because the Flaherty splits are natural splits. You know, lefties fare better against him. But this is their best shot. Whereas I feel like early in the series, they were kind of waiting to fire certain bullets. Now it's going to be their best shot. Keaton in Spring Lake wants to talk some Yanks. What's up, Keaton?
Hey.
Hey, BT and Sal, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah, last night was a rough loss. Just a quick question. Would you have rather seen them lose 4-2 than how it ended last night? Because, you know, I feel like how it happened last night is a little bit more of a momentum builder for the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves me a little bit nervous about tonight. I mean, I'm still confident, you know, in the series. But, you know, just, you know, how it happened last night.
That's a good question. No, really, Kate, it's a good question. I appreciate the call there, man. Because I was actually thinking about that last night. I'm like, what's tougher, the way the Yankees just lost or the way the Mets just lost? And this conversation's come up before over the years, sports radio, you know, and I'm going to give you my answer. But it's a nuanced, layered one, but I'll just get rid of it because it'll take forever to explain. I think that when you lose 10-2, you slowly condition yourself that the game's over, 8-0, or whatever, 7-1, 6-0. And losing that way is, it's just a different energy, and to keep negative energy.
Yeah.
It cuts deeper because it's abrupt. It's out of nowhere. The high's out of nowhere. The low is out of nowhere. But I think that Keaton's point about the momentum that now the Guardians could have, if Gavin Williams is up to the task, which I do not think he will be. I think the Yankees will rock him today. But if they don't, Now we might have some problems here.
I think it's more about confidence as opposed to momentum with the Guardians. They were a team that looked... Now, I thought they would play better going back home. I said that yesterday before the game. I thought the Guardians were going to play better, and they did. They played excellent defense yesterday. The pitching was on point. They got it to a spot where they want to. A two-run lead late with Class A coming in. They take that every time. They got beat by the Yankees' best, so the Yankees' best was better in that spot. But then they came off the mat. The reason why I would say I think it's better that the Yankees lost the way that they did, while it obviously hurts more, is because of what happened. You'd rather have, as opposed to, so what would be better? Judge striking out that spot and then losing 3-1?
That's interesting, but I'm talking about from the fans' perspective.
Well, I know, but
like, think about that.
You're saying as
if you're sitting
to the
on
team,
your couch for 3 hours, what's eventually you're going to go up and go to sleep as you shuffle up the stairs, or if you're in a ranch, whatever. And you go to bed. What's tougher to process? To me, it's the Yankee loss, because you're not slowly getting to a place where you're kind of expecting it, at least for last night from a Mets perspective, accepting defeat, even though I know you want to win. But you even said you flipped it off after Marte's pop-up.
I couldn't take it.
I don't blame you. You guys weren't coming back to win that game.
7-2, Marte flied out. I was like, I'm done. I got to watch the Sopranos.
So from a fan's perspective, he always laughs at yourself. So from the fan's perspective, I do think the Yankee loss is tougher. From the team perspective, Judge going yard and you know, continuing this postseason renaissance here is better for the Yankees.
Right.
Okay. I get it.
But as a fan, it hurt more.
Oh, it hurts.
Because you thought you had an incredible win.
Well, see, why do you look at me like this?
You do this weird thing.
You stick your nose up.
You said, what do you
it's
mean?
It's just so weird how you do this. And I'm bald, too. I just see Sal's bald, shiny head staring up. Like, I know when you're trying to throw a little line in the water to get me going. I know the inflection, the look changes, the posture, everything. I read you like a book now.
You were on the verge of an incredible win.
You are a pisser, man. It would have been an awesome win.
And then Christmas came early for Cleveland.
Don't make me start rooting against your boys again. Please don't do this. I'd really like to see the Mets win tonight.
Somebody tweeted this.
What?
I don't even know who tweeted this. I got to show you this right here.
Is it about me? Like taking a knock?
No.
A little Mariah Carey, Brian Anderson.
Big Christmas.
Dude. By the way, can I say, Brian Anderson is phenomenal.
Fantastic. I saw you. Did you tweet that?
I did. Yeah, I said October's better with Brian Anderson. His voice and his ability to match the moment is great.
I think we said that even before the postseason.
Yes, we did.
I love Brian Anderson.
Me too.
I think he's excellent at basketball as well.
Everything.
But in the baseball postseason. Yeah, I mean, that one hurt BT, but I do think it was more important for the Yankees to have Judge have that moment. Rob is in Yonkers. What's up, Rob?
I was just thinking about, why don't we play the song from Damn Yankees for the Mets? Pick them up. You got to have heart. That's what they have. They have heart.
You gotta have... Is that like an old one? Gotta have heart,
I don't even know that one. Do I know that one?
The name of the play was Damn Yankees from the 1950s. Okay, and that song, if you listen to the words...
Yeah, I got you.
Saying in the clubhouse.
You want to
pick your head up and go.
All right.
Pardon me?
You want the Mets, Rob? And thank you for the call. You want the Mets to use a theme song from Damn Yankees? I never heard the song. You guys have it ready?
You gotta have
You see? That's it. You gotta have
miles and miles and miles.
Hell no.
This is awful.
This? What is this?
This is like I see a top hat and a cane and Ichabod Crane doing like a dance from 75 years ago.
You gotta have her.
Get out of here with that. Come on.
Sal, that would be like me yelling around today. You gotta believe Tug McGraw. That would be like me as a Yankee fan. Tug, you gotta believe Yankee fans. What?
And by the way,
the hell's going on?
I will say, no, that song was terrible. We appreciate the suggestion, Rob. I will say, the belief for the Mets does not, and I wasn't around in 69 or 73. Did Tug come up with that in 73?
73.
Okay, right.
When they lost to the A's of the world. A lot of people thought it was 69.
Correct.
It was 73.
Right, okay. I just wanted to clarify that for the younger fans, because even myself.
Me, the non-Yankee fan, of course, the Met historian
initially,
on the show.
But, initially.
The non-Met fan, I mean.
Initially, I was one of those younger fans who just assumed it was 69, but it came out
in 73.
I did for
a while, too. I hear you.
So, for me, though, the belief is not blind. I don't know what it was like back then. I'm not believing blindly. I'm believing because this team has earned that. Every time I've counted them out, they've come back. So
I agree.
They left me no choice to believe. And a better theme song, of course, than that one is this. Turn it up, Alex. Come on, BT. Win or lose, this is it. This is the OMG Mets.
Well, I prefer Let's Go Mets Go. You got the teamwork to make the dream work. But if you guys want to keep latching on to Iglesias' tune, be my guest. It's worked.
That song's reserved for world champions.
Oh. Fair enough.
This team's at least get to the
dust it off after another few decades here, buddy.
At least get to the World Series. Disc. There's another theme song that might be taking over. We'll get to that in a little bit. It's going to be out there at Citi Field today.
Something else Mr. Grumpy is
not too happy
about
that. All right, BT, we'll get back to the baseball calls here in a second. We'll do football later on as well. Can't wait to get into that. We'll have Costos on. Nick Costos will have Jets and Giants talk. We'll have our perfect parlay picks, which we've both been hot on this year. So we look forward to discussing that later on. And, of course, get ready for Sunday, 888-808-1019.
All right, so we touched on the potential Met pitching scenarios for today. Let me give you something with the Yankees. So nobody really knows what to expect from Luis Gil. We know that he's got electric top-shelf stuff. He hasn't pitched in a while. And really, even the last game against the Pirates, he wasn't very good. So we know what he's like, what he's on. There's also the living high in the zone, laboring, and being out early. I think we get a high-scoring game. I think it's unrealistic to both ways. I think it's unrealistic to
expect. Which would favor the Yanks, by the way.
For sure, and I'll get to why in a moment. But you know, I do think that Gil's going to put some guys on. I do think the Guardians have found a little offensive mojo, and I do think that they'll score some runs. So that's the Guardians. From the Yankees' perspective, so many of you don't know a ton about Gavin Williams. He's only this is year two. He hasn't been around long. Forget about the record. That's kind of antiquated, but it is 3-10 if you're curious. 16 starts. Now, he walks a lot of guys, and this obviously favors the Yankees. 75 innings this year, 32 walks. That is a horrendous ratio, and his ERA is almost 5. And he, ironically, unlike Rodon and some others, he pitches atrociously at home. His splits, I won't even give you the road splits, they're just better. 0-7 with a 6.5 ERA at whatever the hell stadium, like Progressive Field,
Progressive Field. I don't even know. The Jake, I still call it
the Jake, And righty hitters have an 800 OPS against him, so it's kind of odd, and he is a righty. Now, I'm curious. We went through the Mets lineup yesterday, and we were trying to figure out the reverse splits with Yamamoto. What do you do now? I want you to answer this. A righty pitcher who doesn't have great stuff, who throws a lot of balls, who righties hit better. Do you keep Trevino in there? Do you sit?
Nah.
So you don't. So you sit down Wells.
I mean,
you sit down Trevino again.
I would myself. I mean, Trevino.
You start with that.
Trevino's okay offensively, but Wells' potential offense. See, the Yankees don't necessarily need. Now, I would move Wells down in the order, not just now. Like, I would have done that anyway.
Yeah.
But they don't need Wells to rake to be successful because they have enough.
Mm. So he's hitting fourth and Stanton's quiet.
Bingo,
I mean, it depends. But go ahead.
But I would even, you can make an argument to move Rizzo up. I know Jazz hasn't done much, but if you want just a lefty in between those two guys, which, by the way, Stanton and Judge are so good that I don't know if you need a lefty in between them to, like, worry about. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I got you.
You only
have so many. You don't have that many lefties to break it up anyway. You got Verdugo.
Right.
You're not going to play Dominguez. He pinch ran last night for a sec. And you've got Rizzo. And, it's not many.
No, I mean, it's either Wells, Jazz, or Rizzo.
So
are either of those guys worth breaking up Stanton and Judge?
No, I don't think so at this point.
But
Chisholm's cold.
He's still going to do it, though.
He might.
That's how they are, analytical, and they're going to go based off of matchups, what Cleveland could do with the bullpen later, bring in a tough righty.
I guess.
And then you make it easier to have the but if your lefties aren't, like, if I'm Cleveland, I would rather face, if I had to, Judge, Wells, and then Stanton, as opposed to, oh, bring in a righty and I get Judge and Stanton back-to-back. Like,
yeah.
I think the easier option is to have the lefty, whoever it may be, in between those two.
I mean, yeah, conventionally, I probably agree. But if you're Boone right now, are you paying more attention to the reverse split stats that favor going more righty-laden, right? Or are you more thinking later stages of the game? Because if you play right. if you play it right early, you can destroy this guy today. Right. You could crush Gavin Williams.
I wouldn't overthink these things. I know teams do. The Mets do it. Everybody's doing it. The Yankees certainly, maybe even more so than some. I mean, how would you do it? I would just line up the best hitters. I would go Stanton behind Judge, mm-hmm. and I would keep Wells in the lineup as opposed to Trevino. I would also have Rizzo. Although I will say, dude. Defensively,
he is an absolute. He looks like he's old, an old man out there.
He came in the game yesterday for defensive purposes. He was a butcher at first.
The one hop rocket that he kind of boxed up, he actually played that the proper way. Just took a bad, it was hit so hard it went towards second base. Whatever that play down the line, that ball was not hit hard. It looked like he couldn't bend.
Now,
did he not see the ball?
Now he's still their best option because Birdie showed that he. Well, you trust Birdie? He wasn't good defensively.
That ball was hit pretty hard at Birdie too. The one that where ricochet. Like that's a tough play. That one hopper where really you almost have to play it like a goalie or a third baseman. Now you can't control the direction of the hop.
Yeah.
Like if it hits us, if it hits our belly, us, it's not going anywhere. If it hits their belly, which is a little tighter. But I mean, if it hits your
Naylor.
I'm kidding, right? True.
Way, did you see Naylor's stretch yesterday?
That was a great one.
Yeah, that was incredible.
That was actually beautiful. If it hits like your pec or your bone, that thing could go 12, 15 feet. I thought he played that one right. He's not playing Birdie.
Okay,
today.
So what
he's
would you
not.
Do?
So, but I'm just saying.
You go Rizzo Wells? I would go Rizzo Wells myself.
Rizzo and Wells. I mean, Trevino had the big hit. He got picked off. You have to think.
You want
to
go Trevino?
No, I'm just talking for it. I'm not really sure.
I only say this shockingly because I know you love Wells. I know he's
he doesn't look good. He's not hitting
at
all.
But how about Trevino defensively? You wouldn't worry about that?
I think Trevino is actually a really good framer, but I think
can't
Wells
throw
is.
The ball.
I know he can't. I'm going to play Wells today. I'm going to go Rizzo at first, Gleyber at second, Volpe, Jazz, Wells behind the plate. My outfield left to right, Verdugo, Judge, Soto.
Yeah, because if you think that Cleveland
and Stanton
is going to get guys on based off of heel, whether he doesn't have control, whatever it may be, a little rusty, and they can be running on the bases on Trevino. I'd rather take a chance with Wells behind the dish. And then
maybe he runs into one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's got a chance. Listen, I think you said something before that makes sense. Like, I'm not, even though they might overthink this, most teams do, and the Yankees are a little more partial to the advanced analytics than we would want than some other teams, including the Mets, where they go a little more gut, Stearns, Mendoza. But what I'm doing is I'm not going to say I'm not worried about what the Guardians have or not calculating what they have. Of course you do. Otherwise, you're not a professional baseball team. But what I'm really doing, I'm lining up my nine best sticks, it's lefty-lefty or lefty-righty, righty-righty, whatever it is, I'm coming out to drop 8-9 runs on a guy that the Yankees should pound in Gavin Williams.
Bingo. A lot of teams aren't good enough to do that, so they have to look at the numbers. The Yankees should be good enough to be able to mash this guy for Cleveland today. Steve is calling from Bayside, Queens. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Steve?
I'm good. As a Yankee fan, I'm concerned about the bullpen getting overexposed. But if I was a Cleveland fan, I think I would feel the exact same way with what's been going on with Class A and some of the other guys over there. I read last night that the four lead changes that happened after the eighth inning, something, forget about the playoffs, just hasn't happened in baseball, period. So that was like an amazing amount of heroics that it took for Cleveland to win that game. And
meaning in a postseason, Steve. I'm curious as to that four lead changes. What from the eighth through the tenth inning? Like, give me the exact stat that was.
Oh, I'd have to go back and look at how they exactly phrased it. But anyway, what we saw last night is something that's just never happened before in baseball, and that kind of gets me into my main point with the heroics. And I know this has kind of been going on with the Mets too. I always feel like as a baseball fan, I can't rely on stuff like that to win games. That I have to, I think back to the 2001 Yankees when they were in the World Series, and they were just getting outplayed by the Diamondbacks, and then they had the late-inning heroics, and they won the two games. And then, the Diamondbacks figured out to stop bringing Koo into the ball games, and basically, it played out the way that it did.
Yeah, Kim, so, right. Byung-Young Kim at the time.
Byung-Young Kim, that's right. So, yeah, I mean, I still feel very confident. Games like last night, as a baseball fan, they're just fun to watch. But they don't bother me as a Yankee fan because I feel like something like that is very hard to repeat for a team like the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think it is hard to repeat that. You just said, first of all, it's never happened, whatever the scenario is, and you kind of lost the details there, and I forget it. But it's never happened ever. So right there, it tells you the way the back-and-forth nature of the game, since it's never happened, it's hard. But nobody says that the Guardians have to win by the same script.
Right.
They could come out and they can win 6-3, or they can win 7-2, and they can. It's a little bit of a different kind of a game.
I wouldn't look at it from the Yankee perspective saying, well, they're not going to do that again. The Yankees were the one who started the incredible nature of that game. Cleveland had the game exactly where they wanted. 3-1 with their closer on the mound.
That's true.
It just so happened that Judge was up, and Judge was the better, you know, he got the best of Class A. And then, obviously, Stanton followed, which set the stage for a dramatic comeback. And the bigger thing, we could talk about, well, okay, because I did say before that the way that they lost, forget the fans' pain for a second, was a good thing because of what it meant for Judge finally having his big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to reverse that and say the way that they lost was a bad thing because of what happened to Weaver and Holmes.
Well, you can do that as well. I mean, you can definitely say that. And listen, Sal, as much as we've sat here and watched these guys put up zero after zero after zero, there's still an element of unknown. It's not Mariano, not even Wetland. You know, it's not Goose Gossage. I mean, you don't know. Now, I look at stuff, and I look at moxie, and I look at body language. And of the two, I'm more worried about Holmes. Now, maybe because Holmes has given us things to worry about,
right?
And which is why he's no longer the closer.
You can't trust him.
I trust him more than maybe those who just maybe undervalue him in an unfair way.
He's been nasty.
He's been fantastic.
He's been one of their MVPs in the postseason.
He's
so
been
far.
Fantastic since they shifted his role. And by the way, it's not like they bring him in the fifth inning and the Yankees are up 5-1. They bring him in sometimes in the sixth inning when it's high leverage spot. So he has assimilated very well. I think it's a long distance read because he's only been doing this for a month or so. I don't have one concern if it's tonight, if it's the next game, game seven, if there is one, World Series, Luke Weaver steps on that rubber, his mind is right, and his stuff is filthy.
See, I don't trust Holmes, never have, never will, although he was starting to earn that trust again with how nasty he was in the postseason, especially in the big spots. But I still always felt every time, he's just a pitch away from imploding. And you saw it to a certain extent last night. Weaver, there's an unknown. We haven't seen him respond. Now we're going to learn about what Weaver is. Now we're going to find out if he's a closer. Hey, everybody gets beat, shake it off, move on. I would expect him because of his stuff, and I do like him as a closer. I like his mindset, but we still haven't seen it yet.
It's true.
So there is an element of blind faith saying, all right, well, you knew he was going to get beat at some point. You'd rather it be here than in the World Series. Now let's see how Weaver responds. Mets game 5 out at Citi Field, 5 o'clock tonight. You got the Yankees game 4, all of a sudden a series in the ALCS. Now, you know I've been positive today, BT.
With the Mets. Positive sound.
Not saying that they're going to win the series, but just this is not the time to be saying that the series is over. I do have an issue with some.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Something today, though.
Of course.
Why do the Mets feel the need to have the temptation? Like, you could see this coming last night when I saw. I just gave the Mets credit for announcing Strawberry to Doc, Ventura to Alfonso. Today's going to be Harvey to Cespedes, which I'm sure is going to get people excited. See Cespedes out there. I give them credit for saying they finally get it. And then I see a tweet about the Mets are going to have the Temptations perform the national anthem and then sing My Girl prior to the game. This was before game 4. And of course, I'm thinking, well, you know what's going to happen now? The Mets are going to lose game 4 and then have game 5 be where people are expecting a funeral potentially. And now you're going to have the temptation singing My Girl. Why couldn't you just let it be? Like, it's beautiful what's happening where the fans organically sing the song.
Yep.
Why can't you leave well enough alone? Nobody, not one Met fan gives a crap about all due respect to the Temptations. Nobody cares about the Temptations. I don't get it.
You don't get it. You definitely don't get
it, man. You like
this? I think it's cool. Listen.
Why?
Now, I'm not even a Mets guy, and I would lean into it a little bit. First of all, the Temptations are one of the great bands of all time.
They're not even all alive, I don't think.
I know. Well, listen, I think they were formed in 67, if I want to say, in Detroit. So you're talking about an era of that music where they're in the middle of everything,
BT,
man.
How many people do you think, like, I've been to these games here, the majority of the crowd, I know it's a good balance, older and younger.
Sure.
Like, of the 45,000, how many people you think either A, care, or B, have even heard of the Temptations?
I think that now, listen, and you even say this, like, when it comes to politics, like, you kind of check out, and I know you have your music. I don't think that your read on how we absorb music is accurate. Like, otherwise, why would I ever listen to Led Zeppelin? They basically were born in the late 60s. I was born in the 70s. Why would my son like Billy Joel, who started playing in the mid-70s? He was born in 2015. Like, because great music is great music.
Alex, how old are you? Alex is arm on the board, who's now eating in for dough. I get him in the middle of a cookie bite or whatever it is that you got going on there. How old are you, Alex?
I'm turning 25 next month.
Have you ever heard of the Temptations?
No.
Well, that's my point.
Go educate yourself, young man. I mean, that's embarrassing.
But that's
have you ever heard of Chuck Berry?
No, I know My Girl. I know that song, but I just didn't know.
Okay. By the way, there's something to be said for that. Where I know a lot of songs, and I'm like, who sings this? I forgot. You kind of the chorus.
I knew the Temptations myself, but I'm 45.
Okay.
So the 25-year-old. And by the way, even if you know them a little bit, or like, oh yeah, like, did they sing this song? Oh yeah, I've heard that. Do you really think any rabid Mets fan who's nervous about going to this game to begin with because the Mets are now down 3-1 gives a one iota of a crap?
I do.
Oh.
I do. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because, and Hoff, I want your opinion on this in a minute, because you're a Mets fan, and I hope you disagree with this guy on this. I hope you have to, but hold on. Like, if that were the case, why are 45,000 people singing it?
Well, but that's the beauty of it. I love that they sing it because of Lindor. They hear the song. They don't know who sings it, where it comes from.
They know who sings it.
No, you hear the song, and there you go. Everybody gets into it.
Let me ask you this out there. All right, you know that song, Shout, Put Your Hands Up? I don't even love the song, but everybody knows the song.
Yeah.
Who sings that?
It's from that movie, Animal House.
It's from Animal House. Yeah. Oh, God, not the, right. not the, is it the Spinners? Is it the OJs? It might be, either way.
Yeah, I know what
you're talking
about.
One of those great bands. There's so many bands.
Yeah, we don't even know what's
No, saying. But I love some of those songs. Like, there's so many songs I love that I don't know exactly who sings it. And it's a material, like it's taken off. It took off organically.
The Eiley Brothers, Hoff says?
Nah, is that who it is? Maybe. I didn't think it was them, but perhaps. I didn't think it was them. It could be. If they were, if it was presented as this right away without the, you know, organic, you know, blossoming in the crowd, then I'm like, all right, you guys are pushing this forward a little fast. This stuff doesn't bother me. It's not going to distract the Met fan from watching the game. It's not going to distract the Met fan from...
We don't need a Temptations concert. I want to watch a ball game.
Sal, if you think about this, there's really not a need for anything at the end of the day. Is there a need for Diaz's music? Is there a need for walk-up music?
The walk-up music
is... Is there a need for an Apple in center field? No, but it's cool. It's part of the history.
That's fine. Those things are entertaining. What there wasn't a need for is to bring in the guy who actually played. The trumpet. Like, that you didn't need. They didn't need Timmy trumpet himself.
I loved it.
The song was good enough. You can't leave well enough alone. It's organic. It's beautiful what's going on. I love it. My wife was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. It's like, yeah, you got experience. It's great to be there when everybody's singing the song. It doesn't mean you need to have the Temptations there. If you want to have the Temptations out there singing the anthem, that's fine. They don't need to sing My Girl before a game where the Mets are down 3 games. So on, Hoff, you have an issue with this or no? Where are you at? Hoff?
No, it's totally fine. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm totally bought into every single gimmick that the Mets have put on through this year. Because that's kind of been the storyline that's helped us. That's been the storyline that's kind of put us through, like, when we don't, the pressure of the team isn't affected as much. Because we're not talking about the team. We're talking about these stupid gimmicks. I'm all about it. And by the way, not for nothing, BT, I know we were trying to get, or Sal, we were trying to figure out Alex with his knowledge of music. Yeah. He asked me earlier today, he goes, who sings the song that BT plays for the football music?
No, I would know.
What?
I don't even know who that is.
You don't even know AC/DC?
Come on. Oh, it's AC/DC? I didn't even know that.
And
that's
the 80s, dude.
One thing I didn't know, I just found out a couple months ago, they're Australian.
BT looks disgusted.
Don't derail the show.
Here's the last thing I will say. I have had
Men at Work.
I like them. Men at Work.
I like them too.
I have had conversations with members of the 2000 Mets who still have an issue with the freaking Baja Men. Did you need to bring out the Baja Men? Like, Who Let the Dogs Out was whatever their theme song. It's corny enough. Did you have to bring up the Baja Men ahead of the Yankees and Mets Subway Series game? Yankees look at that and thinking, Baja Men? We're gonna murder this team. And then here go the Mets. Who let the dogs out? Ooh. I mean, it's embarrassing, dude. It's embarrassing. Now, the Temptations are not the Baja Men. I'll give you that.
Please, but, at least you give us that here. Jeez. It's like Joe DiMaggio and Ruben Rivera, the comparison between the Temptations and the Baja Men.
We just don't need a lot.
They're timeless. Oh. It's all time, the Temptations. What's wrong with this guy?
And think about how special they made it when Timmy Trumpet came.
That's what I just said.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't want Timmy Trumpet.
He hates that, too.
But that moment was the best moment of 2022 for the Mets.
No, it wasn't. It was all downhill from there.
Nimmo made the catch. There was the whole DeGrom thing.
Timmy Trumpet.
Whole thing.
They just don't get it. It's a sideshow. Hey, the Yankees have, we talked about it with Anthony Rizzo and his walk-up song. Every Yankee. He's got walk-up song. Who's coming out to perform ahead of game 6 at the ALCS?
I don't know, but I was there in 2009 when Jay-Z was in the middle of center field playing New York, New York.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, I was there for it. That was the Pedro A.J. Burnett gap. I remember walking to my seat. It was amazing.
Yeah, but it's still Jay-Z.
Okay, and this is still the Temptations.
Yeah, I'm saying Jay-Z.
The Temptations were born in 1960.
It's 2024.
You do realize that when you get to the essence of music, once music started to evolve from like the 40s and was square dancing and all whatever, like music that I have no interest in.
Yeah.
Quite, I respect it, but it just does nothing for me. You get into these iterations, whether it's, you know, somebody like Led Zepp on the rock side or all the way up to whomever you want now, the Temptations are in the middle of so much of the transformation of the musical industry.
Right. Well, then keep them there.
Responsible.
We don't need them in the baseball industry. Tito's in Scott's Plains.
I ain't too proud to beg. You don't know any of this stuff.
What's up, Tito?
Papa was a
What's up, guys?
Star.
So, oh, So you don't think it would be cool for Boston? You know, look at the embracement of Neil Diamond swinging Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, right.
You know, if it, I mean, that's just awesome. How could you not love the Temptations coming in? I'm a big Yankees fan. I would love Metallica to come in and sing.
Well, then they yeah, there's a time and a place for it.
How great would that be?
Phenomenal.
I think it's great for the Mets. I'm not even a Mets fan.
Me too.
There's a time, and thanks for the call, Tito. There's a time and place for it. Ahead of Game 5 with the team now down 3-1 is not the right time to be singing My Girl.
Sal, what's the difference if they're up 3-1 or down 3-1? We always say, right, and it's true, no matter what you say, no matter what I say, no matter what the Colts say, no matter when, when we're laughing or yelling or at each other's throats and everything in between, no matter what we say, has no impact on what happens on the field. So that's got to obviously translate to music before the game.
Yeah, I would have, I just have zero interest in it. Keith is in Marlboro. What's up, Keith?
Oh, guys. This
don't say
so
guys,
nice.
Say you Sal.
You got it, you got it.
Okay.
So this is, you don't do this before the game. I mean, seventh inning, maybe pull them out in seventh inning. But you guys, go back. Last time the Yankees won the World Series, Jay-Z's New York song was so hot. And so they're celebrating the World Series win. And it's downtown Manhattan. And they get Jay-Z to come out and sing. And you get all these old dopey white people around. It was the most awkward thing you've ever seen.
Hold on, Keith. Are you talking about the parade at City Hall?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, hold on. What do you mean old, awkward white people? Dude, I was there.
Well,
I was 30. Well, then I was young.
No,
but hold on a second. I was there for game two when they did it in center field. Yeah, now I'm an old geeky white guy. Gotcha. But back then, I mean, first of all, there was white people, there was black people, there was Spanish people, there was Asian. That moment was insane. I remember seeing CeCe and Jay-Z actually dancing and singing together.
And by the way,
the crowd loved it.
That's different. That's at a parade.
What are you talking about?
The parade would be fine. And thank you for the call, Keith. The parade beat would be fine. Hey, if the Mets win the World Series, sign me up for Temptations. Bring in Timmy Trumpet. Bring back the Baja Man. Yeah. I don't care who you bring out. But that's different at a parade. Did they do it during the game? They did it, though,
they did it before the game. So they had the stage set up in center field, game two. And then they did it on the steps of City Hall.
Yeah, parade is different for me.
I was at the old station back then. WFAN was I remember seeing Chernoff and everybody. Joe and Evan were doing their show. I was with me, Jeff Nelson, and LaGreca doing our old show. And it was awesome. I mean, there was thousands of people.
Can you not like
insane.
The Temptations? This is why you're always on the overnight.
No, he'd love the Temptations. Oh, yeah. He'd get mad at you.
He's so angry. Yeah. And just enjoy it, the Temptations.
Well, maybe he's right with that.
No, he's not. It's my opinion. I'm not even angry. I'm just stupid. I mean, come on. I care about a baseball game.
So I got a question
for you. The Temptations.
We probably both agree that it won't necessarily help the Mets. Is that a fair assertion? Fair?
It's not going to have any impact
just
on the game.
It probably won't help them. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So we could probably, at least with reasonable minds, also come to the conclusion that it probably won't hurt the Mets.
I don't think it hurts them either.
Okay. So with that being said, crank it up, Temptations, and let it rip.
Right. My girl. There you go. Go to Citi Field today. 5:00. I should get there early. You'll hear the Temptations perform live. My girl.
Question, though. Are they being raised up out of like the apple every time that Lindor comes out to bat?
What do you mean?
They should stick him in the apple?
No,
they should perform it live every time Lindor comes up. That would be something.
Put him on the dugout with the cheerleaders.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.